Welcome to the Authentic Persuasion Show. On this episode, I want to replay part of a previous show. Maybe you heard the original full-length episode, and this could be a great refresher and reminder. Or maybe this is your first time hearing this content, and the timing could be just right to help you leverage authentic persuasion today in your role. No matter what, here's to your success. This is the Authentic Persuasion Show. I cannot count the number of times that I have been in call centers, in sales, on sales floors, in sales teams, observing, watching, working with them, where I have seen somebody who I talk to when they're not on the sales floor or they're not on the phones. And then they get onto the sales floor and they become something different. They want to match what everyone's doing. They want to do what everyone's doing so they can fit in, maybe so they can be accepted, maybe because they think that's what it takes to be successful in sales. And the challenge is that if that's not authentic to you, it's really hard to sustain long term. Pretending, acting, putting on a front, fake it till you make it, act as if, that's tough. Long-term. Short-term, there's some reasons you can justify doing some of those. Long-term, it's not going to work. What I'd rather you do is embrace who you are. Embrace your strengths. Embrace what you're bringing to the table and stop judging yourself. Stop thinking, okay, well, I'm not like Bob. Bob sells this way. He says these things. Bob's been doing sales for 15 years. So I should just do what Bob does. I'm not like that. I haven't been in sales very long. I still have that where I think I talk to people, especially for my podcast, especially for the books that I do. Like I'm interviewing people, talking to other people who are in sales, sales experts, consultants, and people who they've been in sales for a very long time. They knew they wanted to be in sales. They love sales. They're excited about it. That's what they wanted to do for a long time. And they absolutely love it. And I think to myself, I didn't want to do sales for a long time. In fact, even once I started in sales, I still ran away from it several times because I didn't think I wanted to be in sales. I didn't think I was good at it. I never got any training or guidance or mentorship about it. And so I basically raised myself, ran away from home, the home of sales several times, and then, you know, came back and embraced it. And here I am now. But the key is don't judge yourself. Don't judge who you aren't and don't judge the strengths that you have. You want to focus on your strengths. You want to focus on what makes you you, what makes you happy, and what you can bring to the table in these conversations, and focus on your strengths. Now, what are your strengths? That's up to you. That's each person has their unique strengths, excuse me, that they're bringing to the table. Here's what I realized. And if you've heard me talk about my background, you know, I've mentioned this before. One of the keys is I grew up with two fantastic, loving parents who are still together to this day after 46 years of marriage. And they were both pretty analytical. When I was growing up, they were in analytical careers, accounting, finance, engineering, project management. They both moved their way up in their respective organizations. And it was a very analytical. I didn't grow up in an entrepreneurial house or a sales house or a business focused house. It was more analytical. And so for me, my brain, if we look at nature versus nurture, I had both of those stacked for me to be analytical and to see the world that way. And that's what it was. That's why I've always been better in science and math than English and literature and language. When I got into my first sales role at 27, it was in the mortgage business. Now, in the mortgage business in 2002, it was essentially order taking. Everybody, and I lived in Seattle and was doing it in that general area, is everybody wanted to buy a house. Everyone wanted to refi their loans. At the time, the rates were amazing, which now if we look at the rates, it's hilarious because that was low at the time. Now it's just even lower. But everyone wanted help. And you didn't have to, I didn't learn anything about sales. I didn't learn anything about persuading people. I didn't learn about closing people because it was just literally people coming in. In fact, we joked. There was people who joked and said, you know, if you want to make six figures in the mortgage business in that day and age, all you had to do was answer your phone sometimes. And that was about it. You didn't have to return any messages because people would just keep calling you. And that's what it took. And that was semi-true, but gives you a good idea. And what I realized is that when I sat in those meetings with people who wanted to buy a house, my analytical side kicked in, plus my dislike and distrust of salespeople and being feeling like I was being pressured into buying. The kind of buyer that I am, I want options. I don't want any pressure. I want to know that what I'm going to do is going to be the right decision, the best decision, and I want the freedom to make that choice. And so what happened as a salesperson, being totally unconscious and unaware that I was selling like I like to buy, which we're going to talk about in another session, because that one is a super important one for you to be aware of. But what I didn't realize was I was selling like I like to buy. And so I was giving people lots of options and lots of space. And I was giving them lots of spreadsheets with so many choices of what they could pick and what combination that it was actually making it worse. Not only was I not closing sales and moving people forward, I was actually repelling people because I was giving them too many choices and triggering analysis paralysis. Now, the reason why I mention that story now is because those things are some of my best strengths. Other people might try to tell me, you don't want to do those, right? Don't be so analytical. Don't worry about asking so many questions. Don't worry about trying to actually help them or solve their problem. Just get them to buy this thing, right? We're selling this widget. You're putting too much effort into actually, you know, making sure it's the right thing for them. Just sell this widget. If you know me at all, you know, that's not going to fly because that's not the kind of salesperson I am. That's not the kind of human I am where I want to get somebody to buy something just so that I can get paid and I don't really care what happens to them or the outcome. That's not going to happen for me.